Thank you very much for the special music. Just one added comment. Mr. Curtis mentioned to me that the words for that song were written by Kathy Smizer, so we thank her for her efforts in that as well. A beautiful song. Well, brethren, wouldn't it be interesting if we knew God's thoughts towards us regarding the Sabbath day, how we kept it, how we observe it, the way we look at it? In other words, if he could tell me exactly, or you, like, Doug, you could do this a little differently, or you could put your name in there and say, maybe I should be keeping this day differently. I should be looking at this situation in a different light so that I keep it in a manner that's pleasing to God. Because you think about all the things we talk about on the Sabbath day, not everything is maybe pleasing to God. Or even our meal preparation, sometimes we're too lax, or we can even be too strict. There's a lot of things that we're out of balance, and so it is a learning process, isn't it? Just how to live and to keep this day as God intended. I'll just review what I spoke on last Sabbath, talking about the Sabbath as a delight. We talked about how God created the Sabbath day, and that he made it for man. He made it for us, and to enjoy it, and to learn from it. We mentioned how that day, this day, is holy. Holy before God. That God has blessed it. That he sanctified it. He hallowed it. We read where it's a sign. It's a sign of the people of God that those that keep this day properly are recognized by God. We were told in the commandment itself that we're to remember this day to keep it holy. We talked a little bit about the preparation day and how to get ready and things to think about and to learn in that, to learn what is acceptable about what is holy and not holy. And so we discussed many of these things that were mentioned in Isaiah about how God says, you know, don't talk and use your own words on this day, meaning, you know, out of line for the Sabbath day. Don't try to find your own pleasure. It's not about you all this day, but it's a day to enjoy, but it's not about just saying, how can I have fun today? And it's not about doing your own ways. So today I would like to have, my sermon title is part two, Is Your Sabbath Day a Delight? Is your Sabbath a delight? Because there is so much to consider for the seventh day. Throughout the Bible, we're commanded to follow God's laws. And examples are given on how we observe this day. And at times we can look at those examples and not see the full meaning that's there until over time. So today I would like to share three additional points that tie in with delighting on God's Sabbath day. Many of us have observed this seventh day for decades. You know, maybe some just for a few years or even a few months, but others 30, 40, 50, even 60 years. For me, I've been attending a Sabbath service for over 60 years. My parents started when I was 2 years old. And so for all of us, we've seen in different locations, different areas, maybe even different countries, how people observe it, maybe a little differently, but the idea is to do it so it's pleasing to God. And yet we develop habits. Some of those habits are good, and some are not so good. So we have to look to the scriptures to find out how God tries to keep us in line to keep this day holy as he intended. So my first point today is keep your appointment with God. And that's in 1 Peter 1. And there's only one way that that's possible. That's for God to reside in us. Of our own, we cannot be holy. And so let's notice another item that is holy that maybe we haven't thought about. Leviticus 23, we'll read a few verses here, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. So you think about that term, holy convocations. Now, many times people refer to these holy days as the Jews' feasts. But here God says, these are my feasts. They don't belong to any certain tribe or individual or country. No, God says, these belong to me. And that's how important they are. He created them. He owns them. And what he's really saying is they're for everyone, not just the Israelites, not just the Jews. No, they're for all people. And all feasts are mentioned here as a holy convocation. And the Sabbath is one of those feast days that God has given us to enjoy and to delight in. And it repeats it three times here in these verses. Notice verse 3. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. There it is again. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And so here it mentions the Sabbath is to include a holy convocation. And that is the Hebrew word mikra, which means a public meeting, a rehearsal, an assembly, or a calling. God has called us to assemble together to meet with him. And isn't that special? That the greatest ruler of all the ages, of all time, the most powerful being in the universe says, I want my children to gather and to meet with me on this special day. And so this gathering is a weekly reminder to remember why we exist. You know, why God put us here on this earth. Why we've been called. And why God even wants us to be holy. We can learn all these things by observing this day properly. It's a privilege to know then that God is not only holy. And he's not the only thing. God says he's holy, but then we are holy. God says, I want you to grow and develop so I can dwell in you. And that this 24-hour period, the Sabbath, the seventh day is holy, but now we even see that this meeting is holy. Isn't that special, what God has done for us? And at times we forget that. And we shouldn't overlook the fact that God is presiding over this meeting. He is here with us, which makes it holy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be holy just for a group of us to get together. It's God's presence here that does that. Verse 4 says, these are the feasts of the eternal holy convocation. So it mentions it for the third time, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And the Hebrew word here for appointed times is moed, which is translated the word seasons in the King James Version. You know, God says to come together in the appointed seasons here, that we're to meet together for these feasts. And the Sabbath is one of those feasts. So this is a special day, just included with the seven annual festivals that God has given us. And we know that God's festivals occur during the three agricultural seasons of the year. And these seasons portray how God is harvesting mankind in different stages to come be a part of his family, to prepare for that awesome experience. And by keeping these festivals, it opens our eyes to understand God's incredible plan. He's doing so much. And at times, even though we've been maybe a member and understood some of this for years, we can let down in that. We can forget how privileged we are. And so this holy convocation is to remind us of our purpose. You know, the fulfillment of God's plan and what God has in store for each one of us, that we're to join the family of God. So God's feasts are so important. So important that he began Leviticus 23 with it, and we just read the first four verses. If you look at the last verse, it says, so Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. God doesn't want us to forget these. And today we're talking about the Sabbath, just one of those feasts, and how important they are. Because these days were designed by God. And he's asking us not only to join with him, but to join with one another and come before him and to practice his ways, to grow and to mature in getting ready for this awesome privilege to be a part of the family of God. Please turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Just think if you were able to meet with the leader of a country, you know, whether it's a king, an emperor, a president, prime minister, some high position of leader, and to be able to meet with them would be a chance of a lifetime for the majority of us. I've never had that opportunity. I even think about the story in the Bible of Queen Esther and how she had to have permission to go before her husband, the king. If he didn't hand out to whomever, the royal scepter, their life could be taken from them. And so she was even under that. So what a privilege to do that. But today, we meet with the greatest ruler of the universe. And he summoned us to come together to be in his presence and to be taught by him. And we think about how awesome that is. This is a very special meeting, and we can take it for granted at times. So this appointment is vital for our growth, and at times we don't recognize the significance of that. And so this is today simply a reminder from God's words of how beautiful this holy convocation is, how important it is to God. Notice what it says here in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So we should ponder that statement. So very important. Verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I believe God wrote this because he knew down through the ages it would be tough for certain individuals throughout all the times, that there would be a proclivity to forsake coming together for this holy convocation. And today it's easier than ever, because we can still view it at home. And so you think about the words here that talk about this and how important it is. And he said, here, this is the manner of some. So it's been a problem ever since man has existed. To me, as long as the Sabbath has been in existence, that there are some that have troubles with that. Now, the Greek word here for forsake means to desert. There are those who literally desert their appointment, their coming together, their assembly with God. And if we stop and think about it that way, you go, wow, that's really sad if I do that, that I don't come to this meeting that God has summoned me to. And so if we stay home because we're too tired, I know I've done that in my past. Years ago, I had a long drive to church. It took me 2 solid hours to get there. But at times I'd say, well, I'm so tired. And you think about that. If I look at my life and I say, I was not going to the presence of God. He summoned me there to have this holy convocation. And most likely many of us have done that over the years. But that's not a good excuse, is it? I'm too tired. Or what about it's too far? Like, oh, it's just too far. Brethren, this is a holy meeting. And I believe if it was too far gas-wise, if you come and tell me, we would collect the money to get you here. Because if your desire is to be here and God's desire is to have you here, then what's a few dollars for gas to keep us from doing that? Or if we even ache, you know, we're hurting. We had a rough week and we're getting older and we have aches and pains. And I remember years ago being so sick, and it lasted for years. I was in bed most of the time, not Sabbath, but plural, Sabbaths. He was teaching them. He was assembling together. He was following the very command that he gave in the Old Testament. And so we think about that example. Christ is showing us the importance of the assembly, that holy convocation, that holy coming together in the presence of God. And we know the Sabbath appointment occurs each week, and we can take that for granted. But we need to strive to make every appointment, not to let down and say, no, I'll just connect from the web. And I'm not putting down anyone that does that, because there are those that are shut-ins, and that's a wonderful blessing for them. There are those that have just had a hip operation or knee surgery or some disease or sickness that can be spread to others, and they're being careful. But I'm referring to all the other excuses we might make to stay home and say, you know, I think I'll just connect here, and I won't come to be in the presence of God, and I won't be with my brethren to stir up love and good works, as we've read. So we have to consider that. If we have a tendency to miss services and not be sick and not have a good reason, what are we telling God? That you set this special appointment for me and for others, and I'm not willing to show up. We have to think about that. You know, even if I'm here every week, we must not forget how special this meeting is, because God said it is holy. It is very special, and we meet before a holy God on his holy day, and his children led by his Holy Spirit. And so we come into this convocation together to think about all this means as we stand before God. So we can even be at services and still not keep it properly. So I'm not just focusing on those who don't come, that's an issue, but also we can be here and not keep it properly. And we need to be thinking about that. We should consider if we can improve in the keeping of our appointment with God, because it shows respect to God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. We want to show honor. We want to grow. We want to allow God to work in us fully. So let's remember to keep our appointment with God. Let's look at a second point. Increase your fellowship. Point number two, increase your fellowship. God designed various ways for us to have relationships, and we need to continue to build those as we go through life, because our fellowship plays a role in making the Sabbath a delight. So I'd like to share a little story just on some people that came together after years of being separated. A number of years, there was a lady who was a single mom, but she gave birth to twins, two little ones. She had a job that didn't provide very much income, so she realized she had to put them up for adoption. But she found out the one couldn't be adopted because of the curvature of spine. They wouldn't allow it back then. So she gave the one daughter away and kept the other daughter and raised her. Eventually, the mom died. And years later, one of the girls, the one that moved away, I believe, found out that she was even adopted. Nobody had told her that she had a twin and had been adopted. And so she started searching. And she used her children and her grandchildren to help her in this search, so it shows you how many years went by. And she finally located somebody that knew a little something and connected the dots and found her sister. And those two ladies at that time held the Guinness Book of World Records. They were separated for 78 years. And they said when they found each other, they were so joyful. They go, it was amazing, the closeness, the tears, the, like, this is my sister, this is my blood, and I didn't even know you existed for the majority of that time, but now I have the opportunity to build and bond a relationship with you. And so I want us to think about that, of how special relationships are, and sometimes we can take that for granted. What was interesting is both of these ladies were widowed at that age. Both of their husbands were named Jim. Both of them prayed, and both of them had the same sense of humor. Of course, being twins, probably that, you know, connected there. But I think it's interesting they could come together after that many years and start building a bond at that age. And I want to just mention in light of that story that as Christians, we have an added level of brotherhood, don't we? We have that because we are the children of God. We're bonded through God's Holy Spirit, being drawn together, working together, that we have that on top of any family relationship. And when God begins to call us, we respond to that calling. We have the opportunity to have God's very nature working in us, helping us. And so we're spiritual family. We're brothers and sisters. So when we don't come on this holy day to this holy convocation, we let go of an opportunity to be together. You think about those two sisters. If they had a chance to be together today, they would be there. They would, you know, unless they were at death's door, they would be there. And so I think we need to look at this special day in that way, that we need to fight to be here every week, to make an effort to come. And to think about our relationship with one another, it goes on forever. That this isn't just about I know you for a year or two and then you move away or I move away. This is a relationship that will build and grow for eternity, that God is helping us to learn how to work together, to love one another. And we have an opportunity on this day to discuss our beliefs, our thoughts about the plan of God and what we're learning and what's exciting to us. That's pretty hard to do with a neighbor that doesn't know anything about this truth. Oh, we can mention a couple little comments, but we can't get to the level and the depth that we can here with our fellow brethren. Let me give you a dictionary definition of fellowship. I think this is interesting. Fellowship is a friendly association, and then it goes on to say, especially with people who share one's interests. Isn't that so true for us, that we share this common interest, the words of God, the plan of God, and we need that fellowship? We have a common interest as the children of God because we believe in the plan of God. And we look forward to the fulfillment of that. Some of the definitions or synonyms, I should say, of fellowship are companionship or friendship. And so that is what our Father is wanting us to have, to develop that friendship. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. You know, in this chapter, Peter had given his sermon on Pentecost, and those that were listening were stirred to action. And I think about that because over the years, we can lose the zeal we have for God's way. And yet at times it hits us, and we need to be stirred back up. Let's read a few verses here. Acts 2, verse 41. It says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And in the English Standard Version, that verse, a part of it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship." So fellowship was important back then, just as it is today, that God wants us to have this common interest with others of similar belief. He wants us to grow in that. Now, if I give you the Greek word for fellowship, it's koinonia, and it means partnership. It means participation, communicate, or distribution. And you think about it, even we have goods back there that we can distribute with somebody who's needy or homeless, or that we try to come together and to communicate and to participate together. So this fellowship we have includes those terms and more. It has such deep meaning. So we should ask ourselves, are we thankful for this opportunity to come together, to assemble before God once we keep this appointment, but then to build this close relationship with one another? You know, those twins were family, and they missed each other, but so are we. And we need to take the opportunity every week to build our relationship with one another. And you think about this, God inspired this to be written. These aren't my thoughts. These are the one who made us and understands our brains and how we act. He's saying, this is good for you. In every congregation I've ever attended for the last 62 years, I've always seen room for improvement. That we can do better is what I'm saying. That no matter if you're even doing well, there's room for improvement to grow closer to one another on the second point, the fellowship, and also the first point of keeping that appointment with God. This is not just about sitting in a room together. No, this is about getting to know one another and stir one another up to encourage each other. It's about sharing time together, listening to people, encouraging them, talking about our common beliefs. We should desire to grow closer to each other just as those twins did, to have that earnest desire to draw closer and to build a bond, just as our Father and Jesus Christ are wanting to build that relationship as well. And we already read back in Hebrews 10 that we're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If we don't attend, if we don't really come here to grow in fellowship, we can't fulfill that command. And yet every one of these words of God are important. And so fellowship is a way to do that. But if we only show up for services, we're not grasping the whole picture, are we? Because I could show up, I could sit over in the corner, I could not talk to people, and I could do my own thing, and it's really not going to develop this point like God is telling us to. We need to think about how to show love, how to share our feelings, how to be excited about the coming kingdom of God. Brethren, it is coming, and we can talk about that. We can be excited about that, and our Father in heaven wants us to discuss it. He wants us to look forward to it. And you think about how many of us can be strangers to one another. Because fellowship is more than just saying, well, I know your name. We've got to know more. Things that we can pray about, things that we can talk about. And even if you don't have much to talk about, we can discuss what we've studied and the beautiful plan of God. And so God brings us together to build a relationship with him and with each other. I think that's the key. The whole thing is building from different angles, and it should be exciting to us. And so we should make an effort to meet with one another. And yet fellowship requires interaction. And so it's more than just shaking somebody's hand or giving them a hug. It's more than talking about the weather or saying, oh, let me introduce this person. But it's getting to know each other, to really know, just like we want to get to know God and he wants to get to know us. We have to go to that deeper level. And sometimes that's hard for some of us. And so God commands us to assemble. He commands us to fellowship, to stir up this love, and to have good works. Let's notice verse 44 here. It says, now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So a part of our fellowship can even be eating a meal together. As it says, they were breaking bread. They were enjoying, you know, conversing about different things over food. And that's a wonderful thing to do. It's a great way to fellowship. So when we have a potluck, that's a wonderful way. And yet, in various congregations over the years, I see people that come to services, so they do that part, but then they leave before the potluck. And maybe they have a particular situation. I'm not trying to judge anyone, but there are those I know could have stayed. It wasn't a dietary thing. They could have stayed, but they just, oh, I don't want to do that. And so we have to push ourselves in some areas. And so most of us can have limited time during the week to get together with brethren of like mind, to sit and visit over a meal. And so the Sabbath is a wonderful time to do that. And so we can invite members to our home, you know, after services, sit down, enjoy, and keep the Sabbath holy. Even though it's, you know, we might want to talk about other things, we know we need to be careful, as I mentioned last sermon, with what we discuss. And so if that's not convenient, it's even enjoyable at times to go out to a restaurant and sit and visit and have a meal. I remember years ago, we were going up to Jacksonville, and some of the brethren there lived an hour and a half north of Jacksonville. We lived 2 hours south of Jacksonville, so we were sometimes 4 hours between us. We didn't have anyone's home to go to, so a group of 10 or 12 of us at times would go and get together. And it was exciting just to get to know people and to have a meal and to talk about the things we'd heard in the messages or to discuss and catch up on how someone's health was or who we could pray about. And it did build a relationship. And so I just wanted to read here, because United Church of God has a study paper, and it's called Principles of Sabbath Observance, Eating Out on the Sabbath. And so if you'd like, I'd recommend reading this, because it goes through some steps. What it states, though, is that out in the Bible, there are 116 verses that relate to the Sabbath. But only 2 verses out of all those 116 directly address the issue of commerce on the Sabbath. And so as a church, we use two methods for determining how we approach Sabbath observance. And the first one is direct biblical command, and the second one is biblical example. And so if you read that paper, it shows you how the church over decades, with much consideration and study and research, has come to this conclusion. But I just wanted to read the concluding statement of the study paper. It says, eating in a restaurant does not violate the principles as given in the Bible about the Sabbath. In fact, to eat in a restaurant after Sabbath services with our spiritual family can be one of the highlights of a person's week. In many small congregations, the entire group goes out together after services, either for lunch or dinner. It is a wonderful way to spend a portion of the Sabbath, and we need the fellowship of a Sabbath service to fully appreciate the meaning of the day. The key in all these areas is one of balance. And so that's so true, because we can get out of balance in everything. I can go to someone's home and talk about worldly things and yet go out to a restaurant and talk about more godly things. So we need balance no matter where we go, what we do. And so about 20 years ago, I would travel about 100 miles one way to services And that was a small group of about 25 people. And a lot of times after services, we would get together and go to a restaurant and just, if we could get a little private room, to have, you know, a little more privacy to talk about these things. But it was wonderful that many of the congregation would do that, and we got to know one another a lot better that way. And so I'll just state that my preference, if I could have it, my preference is to go to someone's home. Why? It's more conducive to it. It's more relaxing. But I wanted to read this. When the occasion doesn't allow for a home to go to, that it's not wrong to be able to go out and share a meal and to fellowship, have breaking of bread together, and to enjoy that, whether it's the potluck or stopping at a restaurant to do that. And so it's a good way to delight in the Sabbath. And the main thing I would stress, brethren, is sometimes we have differences of opinion, that we have to do what our conscience directs us to do. We don't want to go against it and sin. And so if someone prefers not to go out, that's fine. We just don't want to, if I'm somebody that does go out, I don't want to push that person to make them feel bad for not going out, and they shouldn't push someone else for going out. Because God is not the author of confusion. We don't want division. And we can hold our, let's say, private beliefs. In general, we believe the same, but there are some little differences that we go, we can't do that. That would violate what I think or where I'm at in my life. I need to grow more or whatever it is. So we have to be considerate of one another and to think about these things as we keep this day holy and as we fellowship with one another, that we want to show respect to others. If they feel a certain way, then we don't want to push our beliefs on them. But brethren, the idea of fellowship, we're learning to be good listeners. We're learning to encourage others. We're learning to share our hopes about the coming kingdom. That is what God is allowing us to do as children. And so God gives us extra time on the Sabbath to do that because we don't work, we don't pay our bills, we don't do a number of things we can do during the week, things that are not a sin the other 6 days, but God gives us the extra time for fellowship and for coming together and assembling with one another. And even if we're shy, or even if conversation doesn't come easy for us, or